detained as police investigate their level of involvement, if any, in the deaths of six people that were found with gunshot wounds in a Milwaukee duplex last weekend. The Dow is down 95 points, the NASDAQ off 167. This is SRN News.
Do your pets have the same energy they used to? Do they have problems with itching, scratching, a dull coat, or goopy ears? Then your pets need Dinovite.
DinoVite.com.
For over 20 years, pet owners have trusted Dinovite to supplement their pets' diet.
We started Dinovite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference.
Dinovite is an all-natural daily supplement made from whole foods that help support your pet's immune system, digestion, skin, and coat.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Today's commercial pet foods are processed at high temperatures, which bakes out all the essential goodness. These processed foods can lack the essential vitamins, enzymes, and probiotics that contribute to overall good health. Adding a scoop of Dinovite to your pet's food bowl is the answer.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
I have two cats and two dogs. All four of them are on the Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DinoVite.com.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. Great news from Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. Call about a significant pay raise. Call now, 855-777-9785. That's 855-777-9785. Wiley Sanders Truck Lines.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a really nice late January day ahead of us today with a high temperature up to about 60. Plenty of sunshine. Tonight, clouds on the increase. Not quite as cold over that low 39. Now, tomorrow will be a little breezy and cool, high up to about 54. Much colder Friday night as Arctic air moves in. Overnight low temperature 24. The morning wind chill on Saturday morning in the middle teens. And for the day, Saturday, windy, cold, raw, with a high temperature in the lower 40s. But it'll seem colder because of the winds. The coldest morning will be Sunday morning at 22. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
John Bobo with Capital Tractor. Count on the power, versatility, and dependability of Kubota equipment, and count on Capital Tractor for the customer service to back it up. Day in, day out, we're doing what we do to help you do what you do. Capital Tractor, Montgomery and Brundage.
Alabama News Network, I'm David Lamb. A federal appeals court has blocked the state of Alabama from executing 43-year-old Matthew Reeves. The court ruled that Reeves can't be put to death unless the state uses an untested new method. Reeves' lawyer says that he prefers that to lethal injection, but didn't have the intellectual capacity to make that choice when offered. Alabama lawmakers had advanced a plan to use $771 million in pandemic relief funds on a mix of broadband expansion, water and sewer projects, and health care reimbursements. The Alabama House of Representatives and the Alabama Senate approved the bills with only one dissenting vote in each chamber. And remains found in late October have been confirmed to be those of 71-year-old Clarence Dixon. Dixon was last seen alive by his family on October 3, 2021. Sheriff's deputies found a body on October 31st, about 1,500 feet from Dixon's home. The Alabama Department of Forensic Sciences identified the remains as those of Dixon. For these stories and more, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm David Lamb.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. Unless you've been living under a rock, then you know that mortgage rates are low. But did you know that mortgage rates have fallen to their lowest level since 1971? That's 50 years ago. So there's no wonder why you are getting bombarded with mortgage offers. Churchill said it best, a good speech should be like a woman's skirt, long enough to cover the subject and short enough to create interest. That's exactly what other mortgage companies do. They advertise a rate, a teaser, if you will. The advertised rate piques your interest, so you give them a call. You ask questions, only to find the advertised rate is not available to you, or there's a hefty cost for you to get that rate. Unfortunately, this is very common in the mortgage industry. When calling on Alabama Home Mortgage, you don't have to hope you're getting the best rate. You will know you're getting the best rate at the lowest cost to you. Call Alabama Home Mortgage, the number one mortgage lender in Alabama, today at 567-4223, or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS 1586368, Equal Housing Lender.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's Straight Talk with April Marie. Join the conversation. Call 334-272-9228. And here's your host, April Marie.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm doing it again, Joey. Do you see this? I'm trying to raise it higher. It's not working. Sometimes I experience some technical difficulties of my own making. Like my mic is really little, as if I were a dwarf. Is that offensive to dwarf people? I hope not. If there are any dwarves listening, I meant no offense to that. I just meant that I messed up my mic. And it wants me, I'm pretty little as it is, but it wants me to be really super duper little. Let's look at some of the things going on in our country. We'll go ahead and start with crime. Crime is a hot mess. We did see here in Alabama where the courts have gone ahead and given the okay to raise bail and bond amounts, which is significant. But let's look at what is going on in major cities through just earlier this week.
This is a photo that you sent me.
Oh, I meant to send you a clip. Well, I'm just kidding. Crime surging in major cities here in around the country. And let's go to Biden's, how the Biden team is secretly responding. I say secretly because this is a contractor talking about what's happening at the border.
Meanwhile, we have been witnessing our own mass releases of illegal immigrants here in the RGV this week. This is video we shot yesterday in Brownsville, where we saw well over 50 single adult male illegal immigrants just dropped off by ICE near a parking garage in the city and released into the public. You're watching as an NGO leads those men across the street to a bus terminal. Many of those men had ankle monitors on. Several of them were hiding their faces from our cameras. An ICE agent came forward to me who's been involved in mass releases and told me this has been discreetly going on since last spring. He told me that ICE has been releasing migrants with misdemeanor criminal records, including assault, DUI, drug possession, and illegal reentry. I reached out to ICE about that this morning. They did not deny it. They told me all releases are done on an individual case-by-case basis, and they consider all factors when doing so. And back out here live, I also asked that ICE agent, are U.S. taxpayers footing the bill for migrant travel? He told me they work with NGOs. The NGOs will ask the families of those migrants to please provide an address and buy them a bus ticket or a plane ticket to a city of their choosing. If that doesn't happen, the NGO will buy the ticket themselves, then bill the federal government for reimbursement. That agent went on to tell me that he feels the Biden administration has turned ICE ERO into an unofficial travel coordination agency, and morale has never been lower.
Well, there's a lot more to learn on this. Bill Malusian, thanks. La Jolla, Texas today. Dana.
So a couple weeks ago, I read a report by DHS that highlighted where ICE and they were releasing these illegal aliens into. Afterwards, it was brought to my attention that a lot of these, a lot of illegal alien transports, as we just heard there, are actually being done by NGOs, non-governmental officials or offices, and it's like charities are coordinating these, and they may not be in the official numbers. So, as we know, crime in our nation is high, and I just sent Joey clip of Jen Psaki. As we know, crime in our nation is at some of the highest it's ever been. We're still letting people stay here who have criminal records. And it just does not make sense. It doesn't make sense in terms of the government's most basic responsibilities to keep us safe and to protect the borders. And all in all, it's incredibly frustrating. Let's see if we can get to that Psaki clip. And before we do, let me remind you guys, Mortgage Corporation of the South, MCS, they've been serving people in Alabama for over 25 years. They want to make your next move the best move. They are can help you if you're looking to qualify for a loan, looking to refinance your loan, get into a VA program, or make sure you're in the best VA program. They're not just a mortgage company, though. They're also a mortgage and loan company. That second part of what they do has to deal with those home equity loans. So getting cash out of a piece of land you own, your house, or an automobile. Call 567-9000, 567-9000, and let Mortgage Corporation of the South help you do whatever you need in terms of getting a little bit of money in your pocket. They'll work with people with phenomenal credit, highest credit score you get, or they'll help those of you who are either establishing credit or reestablishing credit. The great part about them is that they are local and they want to get to know you and they want to work with you. We are going to hit our break a little early, and then we come back. I'll get those clips together for you guys. It is a Thursday afternoon, and I'm having a case of the Mondays over here. It happens from time to time. Back again in a minute.
You're listening to Straight Talk with April Marie on News Talk 93.1.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Katie Britt is a Christian conservative and an Alabama First business leader running for the United States Senate to save the American dream from Joe Biden's socialist agenda. Katie Britt will bring fresh blood and new energy to Washington and fight tirelessly for our conservative Alabama values. Here's Katie Britt.
My faith and relationship with the Lord guide my everyday life. Being pro-life and pro-Second Amendment doesn't make me radical. It makes me American. We have to show strength at the border, and what we are showing as a country right now is total weakness. It is so important that we protect our nation's borders. We are a nation of laws, not a nation of lawlessness. We need somebody that knows how to fight for Alabama, that believes in Alabama.
Katie Britt will fight for our Christian conservative values, put Alabama first, and never apologize for it.
I'm Katie Britt, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Britt for Alabama, Inc.
Once upon a time, if you had a water leak under your house or a broken drain line, the only solution was to dig. Don't dig a hole. Call Cole. Cole Plumbing can repair any damaged or leaking pipes without digging in most cases. Cole Plumbing relines, repairs, and renews your pipes and with minimal interruption to your routine. All work comes with a limited warranty. Call Cole Plumbing today at 279-8919. And remember, you don't have to dig a hole. You can call Cole. Call 279-8919 today.
Traditionally, plumbers repair defective water, sewer, drain, and other pipelines by digging holes, breaking into floors, slabs, or walls. This type of destruction is a last resort at Cole Plumbing. With our unique pipelining technology, we can eliminate demolition that causes extreme inconvenience, disruption, and expense. Also, it's safer. So don't dig a hole. Call on Cole at 279-8919 or find us at coleplumbing.com. You'll be pleased you did. And remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1. WACV. News Talk 93.1.
You're listening to Straight Talk with April Marie on News Talk 93.1.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. April Marie Fogle here. Just address a little bit of the what border agents are finding at the border in terms of the release of criminals. And wanted to discuss a little bit about this administration's response to crime, which clearly is severely lacking. Here is that clip including what Jen Psaki says.
Now, after a police officer was shot in our nation's capital, the Washington, D.C. chapter of Black Lives Matter is complaining about cops being treated like heroes. Meanwhile, the White House now admits defunding the police is cause for the nation's surge in violent crime. Listen to this.
So what are you attributing the rise in crime to?
Gun violence is a huge reason for the surge in crime. Underfunding of some police departments and their need for additional resources, something the president has advocated for consistently through the course of his career.
Here to react, Gianno Caldwell, Fox News analyst. You know, Gianno, her comments, although artfully worded, amount to a takedown of the defund the police movement.
Yeah, as it should have been a long time ago. I don't think they realize, which doesn't make sense if you're smart people, that there's a correlation between defunding the police and certainly the $1 billion that was pulled out of New York and seeing an increase in violence, especially when you know the mood of the country has changed. If we look at just the pure numbers, just last year alone, over 346 officers were shot last year. The FBI put it at a 48% increase in those who have been killed over 2020, the highest since 2011. And the Black Lives Matter comments don't make any sense. It's stupid to me, in my personal opinion. I just think that anytime an officer goes and put on a uniform and they go out to risk their lives, and their family, obviously, you know, they wouldn't have someone there if they were to die. These people are heroes.
You know what, Gianno, let me show that tweet real quick, and then we're going to get your reaction to it, because I want everybody to be clear about what we're talking about. So the D.C. chapter of Defund the Police posted this tweet after a string of police officers were shot in the line of duty. They say, this is the point we've been making for months. Look at the reaction and coverage tonight. Tearjerker press conferences and proclamations of heroes coming soon. Imagine if people knew these folks' name. Being black in D.C. is more dangerous than any job. What's your reaction to that?
Well, that part, being black in D.C., D.C. is a very prosperous place for African Americans. So that's an interesting comment. You know, I just think that this kind of stuff is divisive. It doesn't unite us. Police officers, whether they be shot in the line of duty or not, are heroes. They're putting their lives on the line for all of us. So there's no need for that kind of rhetoric. I think things like that is only dividing the country even more.
Yeah, and speaking of a divided country, check out these poll numbers. President Biden's support among black voters is plummeting. In April 2021, it was at 83%. Now it's at 64%. Why the massive decrease there, Gianno?
And I'm understanding that it was some reporting back in December showing that the black approval rating for Biden was at 48%. And I'm sure that number hasn't increased that much. The sentiment among African Americans is that Joe Biden campaigned making enormous promises as to what he was going to do for the African American community. And once he got into office, he did what a lot of Democratic politicians do. What my grandfather taught me about politics when I was 14, what they were doing then, they show up around election day and then you don't see them until the next election day, until they need to call Republicans racist and claim that they're the reason that their agenda didn't pass. Joe Biden did prioritize African Americans and African Americans prioritized him. And now as a result, and everyone can see the result of the Biden presidency, he cannot count on that African American support in the midterm elections.
It's absolutely hurting him politically.
Well, and I think a lot of Democrats should not count on any one group I'll say incumbents, elected officials, candidates should not take for granted any one single group in the next election cycle, because people are seeing crime rise. You look at the Montgomery area, the Birmingham area, you look at other areas of Alabama. We're seeing border crossings being record high, and we recognize who is and is not talking about it. There is so much to consider coming into elections I think that Biden's approval ratings are down, and I think that that conservatives cannot count on inflated numbers come election day, because people are just genuinely mad, and I'm hearing that frequently. Let's go back to the BLM, the Black Lives Matter DC tweet, which was essentially to say, and I'm paraphrasing here, that that they don't believe cops should be hailed as heroes before they're, you know, whether in their ordinary job or after their deaths, and they die in the line of duty. And the guest there qualified it that it was his personal opinion that that was, it was stupid to me, and my personal opinion is what he said. And I just want to back that up and say it is not, I'm going to go out and say it is just stupid. It is absolutely stupid to say that officers who die in the line of duty, especially those who die doing their job, putting their lives to save others, going into dangerous situations, die just because they are who they are. There are people who we've seen targeting law enforcement officers. They are, in fact, heroes. And I don't like the line, that term being used all willy-nilly. And we have seen during COVID different people called heroes. I don't believe that you were, that any of us, including me, who got my shot or my mask, I don't believe that we should be called heroes. We're just individuals making a choice that that's what's in our best interest. And so I just, the hero tag is thrown around too much. I will definitely agree with that. But our soldiers and our law enforcement who are doing their job and doing it well and not exploiting their powers of position and are serving their people and their communities, they are heroes. That's it. It's that easy. 272-9228, 272-9228, if you want to get in on the conversation about any of the things you just heard. We also heard from Jen Psaki talking about the two things she wanted to point to related to increased crime. One was gun violence, which gun violence has been increasing in recent years more. And I just started really getting into this yesterday, looking at the data and statistics of gun violence. And violence in the U.S. has been rising from a baseline, gun violence increasing nationally since 2014. And then it says violence has not increased in most other high income countries during the pandemic. And I think that what we're seeing is a lot of desperation, a lot of anger, a lot of people having vigilante justice in their communities, a lot of incumbents who are have for a moment bought into the defund the police movement. When you look at gun deaths by guns, they still are overwhelmingly can be put into several categories. One is suicide. We have a mental health crisis. We have a mental health crisis in our country. We have a mental health crisis in our state, and in this, in every community around the state. Two, we know that most gun violence is not random. Most of these are individuals who had firearms with them when either a dispute broke out or they decided they were going to go settle a dispute on their own with a firearm. This is not random violence. You know, I explained this recently to my children in terms of crime, is that that unfortunately kids live, there are kids, and we need to address this as a community, as a society. There are kids who live in neighborhoods where they can't feel safe in their home. And then there are kids who will live in neighborhoods that will very, very, very rarely see gun violence. Some of those neighborhoods where you feel safe and you seem safe, the gun violence they are seeing are related to domestic violence. And COVID has exacerbated the domestic violence situation we have in our nation, because you have people who are jobless, people who are have cash strapped, individuals who are not able to show that they need the help that they need. There are so many things that the consequences of COVID, the response to COVID, are going to be long-term. And suicide, domestic violence rates, people who are drug or alcohol addicted who have gone back to their addiction after being sober or clean, these are all things we have to contend with. And so I get really frustrated when I see or hear, and it's happening all of the time as we get ready as a state to take up this concealed, this license for constitutional carry, getting rid of the need for. Note, I said getting rid of the need for. Not getting rid of concealed carries, but getting rid of the need for concealed carries. People will still get concealed carry licenses so that they can travel to different states. People will still get concealed carry licenses for some of the other benefits of them. But as we do this, we are seeing the same train of thought that Jen Psaki promoted in her press conference about gun violence. We are seeing it, and it's not being honest. It's not being honest about gun deaths. And gun deaths and gun violence is two different situations. And the kind of gun violence we see here in Montgomery is very local to very small specific groups, very small specific zip codes, and generally is targeted. Secondly, police funding. No, duh. If you villainize law enforcement and you cut their funding and you make their jobs miserable and you demand they get COVID vaccines and you demand they work in hostile environments and communities where they don't have enough manpower, yes, we're going to have issues with police coverage and crimes rising. Duh. Let's fund our police to the highest levels we can. Actually, that goes back into my constitutional carry issue. A lot of our sheriffs are running around going, but the funding. Why are our communities not funding our sheriff's offices properly? Or are our sheriff's offices funded properly and they are just not using the money adequately? Those are questions that I think it's important to ask and important to be answered. And back to if we had real papers, the Montgomery Advertiser, AL.com, and some of the other big papers in the state, if they would do a little investigative journalism, we could have a true answer on that. Why are sheriff's offices having to sell licenses to prop up their budgets? It's a question I want answered. Before we get to this break, I want to remind you guys about my good friends over at Dillon Rings, Josh and Leslie. We are sneaking up on Valentine's Day. And just for the record, I almost said Halloween. Sneaking up on Valentine's Day. Garnet, by the way, is January's birthstone, which is stunning. One of my favorite stones because I love the red. You can go shop for a garnet piece of jewelry over there at 119 Brown Springs Road, just off Atlanta Highway. You can go pick out something in one of their cases, have an item custom ordered for you, or even have an item custom made for you. Josh and Leslie Ryder really want to be your neighborhood jewelry shop. They want to earn your trust and keep it. They want you to keep coming back. I have heard from a number of listeners who have used their services and just got nothing but great results. As a matter of fact, I actually had a friend get her engagement ring custom made there, and it is beautiful. Every time I see it, I get a little excited. All right, we are going to hit a quick break. When we come back, 272-9228 if you want to get in on the phone lines, and we'll talk about other issues. A little later, we will be joined by Rusty Glover. Back in a second.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Earlier this year, you learned that the Poarch Creek Indians were trying to get a tax-free monopoly on gambling in Alabama. Fortunately, the state legislature heard your voices and the bill did not pass. But the Porch Creek Cartel hasn't given up. So you have to ask yourself, why is the Republican leadership in the Alabama legislature so determined to give the Porch Creek Indians a tax-free monopoly on gambling? Maybe it's because the Porch Creek Indians are doling out millions of dollars in campaign cash. That's right, millions of dollars to influence next year's election. Last year, they made $1 billion in tax-free profits in this state alone. $1 billion. How much of that tax-free profit will they be using to buy Alabama politicians? Call your state representative today and say no to selling Alabama out to the casino Indians. 334-261-0500. 334-261-0500. Paid for by Eagle Forum of Alabama.
Plumbing problems can happen anytime, 24/7. And as we often do, we grab some tools and try to fix it ourselves. That's usually when we find ourselves in the middle of a mess. As a famous actor once said, you have to know your limitations. Jot down this website, clarkcomfort.com. The staff at Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing is ready to show up and bail you out, literally, and get your home back to normal. It doesn't take a lot of water to do extensive damage. Clark is there 24/7 for all your emergency needs. Whether it's a leaky faucet to completing a major installation or a replacement job, Clark's licensed professionals are prepared to do it all. Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing understands that everyone has concerns when it comes to COVID-19. All of our technicians take every precaution possible to protect you while they're in your home. So when it comes to your home's plumbing, know your limitations. The next time you need plumbing repairs, you better call Clark. Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing, ready 24/7 to take care of your emergency needs. Visit clarkcomfort.com. That's clarkcomfort.com. Alabama certification number 99004.
At the first sign of trouble with your retirement account, you've got to
nip it in the bud.
And the best way to
nip it
is to
call the man.
That's right.
Just call the man.
Call David Ernest.
Just call the man.
334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
Not that man.
Yes, that's the man. Call him today.
Call the man.
David Ernest has over 40 years of experience as an asset preservationist. And along with Matthew Ernest and Leo Williams, they are a formidable force against those who would ruin your retirement.
Shazam.
I'll say it again. Call the man today.
I thought Calvin Cooley said that.
No, Floyd, it was me.
What Calvin Cooley said?
Go even up Barney's sideburns and call David Ernest at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. You remember the name, right?
You.
No, it's asset preservationist David Ernest.
Golly.
Call David Ernest today.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. Great news from Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. Call about a significant pay raise. Call now, 855-777-9785. That's 855-777-9785. Wiley Sanders Truck Lines.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a really nice late January day ahead of us today with a high temperature up to about 60. Plenty of sunshine. Tonight, clouds on the increase. Not quite as cold. Overnight low 39. Now, tomorrow will be a little breezy and cool. High up to about 54. Much colder Friday night as Arctic air moves in. Overnight low temperature 24. The morning wind chill on Saturday morning in the middle teens. And for the day, Saturday, windy, cold, raw with a high temperature in the lower 40s. But it'll seem colder because of the winds. The coldest morning will be Sunday morning at 22. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Paper luck riser.
You're listening to Straight Talk with April Marie on News Talk 93.1.
Up Yellowhammer to see what the latest going on in the state is. And there's Dr. Scott Harris launching Alabama Unites, a COVID campaign stressing the importance of vaccination and testing. I just want to say, if you haven't figured out the importance of vaccination and testing at this point, you just probably aren't going to change your mind. I don't think anybody's mind is being changed over a year after the vaccinations have been made ready. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are sitting around going, you know what? This government-funded ad has changed my mind. I will now go get vaccination. And then let's talk about this testing. I test. I do. I have tested multiple times. And every time I tested, it was for good reason in terms of me being around someone at risk or me not wanting to put three children in a school when they had it. Different various reasons. But there are people out there just randomly testing. Our school just randomly tests people. It's absolutely ridiculous. We are Omicron. We talked to Greg Poole, who was here yesterday. He had it. He had a little bit of exhaustion with a cold symptoms. Other friends, some exhaustion with a sinus infection symptoms. Yes, I know friends who have and I have a friend now who's a couple weeks into it and is still pretty sick. Definitely tired. One friend with a lingering cough, although he feels fine. This I'm going to test randomly for, and I don't say for no reason, especially when there's a shortage of tests, irks me. And maybe irk is a weird word, but it does. It irks me. All right, we are going to go to Biden. The very top clip on Biden getting a little tongue-tied, which, by the way, I can relate to, except our president, this shouldn't happen this frequently.
But I might point out, when I went to Dearborn driving that, was up there. I don't know, man. I think the press thought I was crazy. I enjoyed it so much going up and your new EV factory and that Hummer.
Okay, hold on one more time. You know I like to run this close twice. One more time. Hold on. Let's everybody pay attention. Maybe you can catch what he's saying.
But I might point out when I went to Dearborn driving that. Was up there. I don't know, man. I think the press thought I was crazy. I enjoyed it so much going up and your new EV factory and that Hummer.
Lord have mercy. I didn't even realize we were still talking about EV electric vehicles. Yay, Joe Biden. And by the way, Joe Biden is, he has finally learned his lesson on mask theater because he is appearing in this all masked up, sitting pretty far away from another individual who is also all masked up. Good times, Joe Biden. Good times.
He wouldn't be the first president in office impressed by a Hummer.
You caught that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You caught that. That is a very fair point, Joey Clark. That is a very, very fair point. All right, we're going to go back. One of the things that cracks me up is this idea that Joe Biden can't take questions or can't do things. And he constantly talks about how he's not allowed. I'm not allowed to do this. I can't do that. This time he had a better idea on why he couldn't take questions related to, I believe this is the Supreme Court Justice retirement.
I'm not going to take any questions because I think it's inappropriate. I'm not going to take any questions because I think it's inappropriate.
It's inappropriate for the President of the United States to answer a question. Inappropriate. Why on earth would our president do that? Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. I really get frustrated with his the way in which he is handled. And that's not just him. That's people in general. Sometimes you work with candidates to bring out their strength or work out with the elected officials to bring out their strengths. But you got to let them fly like birdies at some point. Send them off on their own. To have them say, I can't answer questions. Like, I'm not allowed, as Joe Biden frequently does. It just bugs me. Here is an old clip of Joe Biden for you.
Savings are starting to reach drivers. Now, today, the average price you're paying here in Kansas City is below $2 a gallon. $3 a gallon. It's down to $2.90 a gallon. 20% down from a month ago. Nationally, prices are down 7 cents a gallon, continuing to fall. We're making progress. We're going to keep at it to ensure the American people are paying their fair share for gas, not being gouged for gas.
That was in December, by the way. In December, he really wanted to take credit for the gas prices.
Progress. We're going to keep at it to ensure the American people are paying their fair share for gas, not being gouged for gas.
Joey, are you paying your fair share for gas? What is your fair share of gas for gas? Can you help me understand this?
I don't understand him.
What in what formula do we decide what one's fair share for gas is?
Whatever Mr. Popular dictates, I suppose.
Is your fair share higher or lower than my fair share?
Definitely lower. Definitely lower.
By the way, fair share, that the words themselves, you need to pay your fair share. I always love it. I want my fair share of Jeff Bezos' income.
Right. No, but it makes sense. Like, I want my fair share of the pizza. And they're like eight people. And, okay, eight slices. You get a slice. That makes sense. But when somebody else earned the money to start the business, or the gas pump should be driven by market prices, and you're restricting supply chains, you're restricting production and future supply. Nothing fair about it.
Just no. There was a story that went viral. It was last week or the week before, where a student got an extra credit question, correct, but didn't need it. Air quotes, didn't need it because they already had an A. And so they wanted to donate their extra credit to someone who didn't do well on the test. And all of the responses to this were, oh, what a wonderful child someone is raising. Oh, there's hope for our nation. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was the teacher or a parent who posted this. And I just want to say that, no. You earn the grade you get. You cannot give grades to someone else. What if we gave people grades that made them passing and they weren't passing the subject and you're not in their class next year and they fail and they continue to fail because you weren't there to lift them up? And this is always kind of goes back to the root of my issues with a lot of social programming and why it's so much more important that we have community instead of federal funding just pouring down and raining down forever and always. If we have people in our community who can help people identify the individuals and get them all of the care they need, the wraparound services of this, they're called, right? Like, I'm not just going to give you money, Joey. What I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out why you don't have the money to start with. Do you need a job? Okay, why do you need a job? Oh, you can't get a job because you're not literate. Oh, you can't get a job because you don't have a driver's license. Oh, you can't get your driver's license because you have court fees. Let's work on all of those things so that you can be the most productive member of society that you can be. And that is how we succeed as a nation. Not this, oh my gosh, you have no job. I'm just going to keep paying your bills. And it seems so common sense to me. And maybe the reason it's so common sense to me is because I lived it. I lived it from the side of being surrounded by families where some families like mine had a father who worked three jobs, and the family next door, the father next door, you know, got stoned and hung out on his porch smoking five packs a day. Like, I lived a lifestyle and around people, and I saw this. And so fairness has a different meaning to me, because how and why was that fair to that my father subsidized the guy who sat on the back porch doing nothing and collecting government money? All right. We are going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we will talk a little bit more about maybe inflation. Back in a second.
to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Would you like for your child to receive a Christ-centered education that values truth? Do you desire teachers for your child that partner with you? This is John Bradley, headmaster of Cornerstone Classical Christian Academy, where we strive to labor alongside the parent to prepare students spiritually and intellectually for lifelong service in God's kingdom. We are a K-4-12 Christian, classical, and affordable option for parents who wish to pass on the faith and the tools of learning to the next generation. For more information, call us at Cornerstone Classical Christian Academy at 334-356-7788.
As a probate judge, Wes Allen administered more than a dozen elections without a single error. When liberals wanted to establish curbside voting in Alabama, Wes Allen sponsored and passed the bill to ban it permanently. When Democrats tried to pass the no-excuse absentee voting, he fought it and won. Wes Allen, the solid conservative Republican, we need to be Alabama's next Secretary of State.
Paid for by the committee to elect Judge Wes Allen, P.O. Box 150, Troy, Alabama, 36081.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Straight Talk with April Marie on News Talk 93.1.
Good afternoon, everyone. 272-9228 if you want to get in on the conversation today. Before I go to our guests, I want to remind you one more time, Mortgage Corporation of the South, our mortgage and loan center serving people in Alabama for over 25 years. They've got an anniversary coming up in just a couple of weeks. They are high atop the mountain in Wetumpka. Whether you are looking to get into a new home, like I am, looking to refinance and get lower interest rates before those interest rates go higher, as they're expected to do, or you're a veteran looking to get into a VA program or make sure you're in the best program, call 567-9000, 567-9000, and talk to one of the members of the A-Team or John Williams himself. The great thing about their office, in addition to the incredible services they offer, is A, you're not going to get a crazy phone tree line, push one, push two, push three, wait for days and months and weeks before you get answers. You're going to get that personalized service that you can only get here locally. And two, they have the ability to work with people, not just with phenomenal credit, but those of you who are building back credit, and they'll help you by reporting to the credit agencies, whether you are starting over after a bankruptcy, whether you're just starting out and have no credit score. They have the ability to work with people, so give them a call and give them that opportunity. 567-9000. Their NMLS ID is 232876, and they're an equal housing lender. In the studio joining me and Joey is State Auditor Candidate Rusty Glover.
Hey, great to be here. I was on a phone interview a couple of months ago. It's great to be here in the studio.
So how are you feeling about the race as it is now? Qualifying is ending tomorrow at 5.
Sure. Well, it's hard to tell. It's not a lot of interest in this race. I mean, it's interest is in that there are four candidates running, but as far as the people, the voters, you know, it's so much energy being pushed towards the governor's race, the Senate, U.S. Senate race, and a lot of local legislative races. It's just not a lot of interest in this race, but it is an important race, and I feel good about it. Things are going very well.
Okay, now. The qualified so far, it's got you, Stan Cook, and Andrew Sorrell. The last one in the race would be
Brent Woodall. He has been campaigning for the last probably 8 months all around the state and campaigning very hard. And And I'm really kind of surprised he hasn't qualified yet. But
yeah, I'm still looking at the list right here.
Still have about 27 hours left.
I know. It's Jim Ziegler, I believe, went and qualified this morning, and he's not on this list. So that maybe it's not
Be updated
completely up to date. Right. I'll have to ping him and check on that. So what is your biggest, for those who didn't hear you last time you were on, what is kind of your biggest vision of the state auditor's office? Right now, the responsibilities are somewhat limited.
Sure.
And as is the budget and the parking spaces.
Sure. And that's and that's the issue really in this race, and really kind of sets me apart from the other three because, and I tell you, first of all, I would say they're all three of the potential opponents. They're very well. Very well qualified, articulate, smart, very conservative, just like myself. And I think either any of the four would do a great job. The only difference I would say is that what I would like to see done is really approach the legislature in a way of trying to reestablish the appropriations that have been taken away over the years. It's several hundred thousand dollars that have been cut out of the budget. And that does hamper the ability of the auditor's office to function properly, as far as making sure that all the state agencies have, you know, it's an inventory. It's been inventory. Right. It's not really an audit.
It is.
And you know, you hear a lot about ideas about changing the office as far as the examiners of public accounting.
I was
going
to say, where do you stand on that?
Well, you know, and I look at it, and it sounds really good. You know, the idea of having someone who is an elected official who's accountable to the voters being in charge of those financial auditors, that sounds great, but it's not the real world. The real world is that the legislature has oversight over the examiners of public account, and they hold that as very high importance. And I will assure you they are not likely, to be a very huge understatement, to relinquish their responsibility of oversight of the examiners of public account. It's just not going to happen. In fact, I would even say there's a probably 100 times greater chance that the legislature would put an axe to the office of auditor before it does something of that nature. And so, and you know, they've talked about their plans on doing that. And what I'd like to do, and I feel like it's more realistic, my close relationship with the two budget chairs, having served in the legislature, I feel like that I can be persuasive enough and lay out the plan of what the money would be spent on and get that appropriation back, because it's been several hundred thousand dollars cut out of the budget for auditor over the last few budgets.
Are there any additional responsibilities that you would like to see the auditor take on?
Yeah, I would like to, but again, it'd be up to the legislature, and the legislature hasn't really looked fondly towards that position, and maybe if it does, we'll look further at that point. It'll take a few months to get used to position. As far as expanding, I think I would be very willing, and if I see areas that we could do a better job in another agency, I would be very much in favor of doing that. But right now is trying to keep the auditor's position alive, and the legislature is... They are looking at holding on to their responsibility of oversight.
And there is one bill this legislative session, as it feels like there is one every year since Jim Ziegler has been elected. It seems there's always a bill to do something to mess with that office. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit. One of the first questions I ever asked in a forum of elected officials was to the state auditor questions, and I'm going to pose it to all of the auditor candidates. Mm-hmm. But if the office does very little, it does inventory, generally speaking, and they keep cutting the budget, why should we have it and why do you want it?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm not looking at it as, hey, it's going to be the same budget. I'm really enthusiastic about getting that appropriation. And I will say this about Jim Ziegler. You know, with those budget cuts, he's running an effective office. They're getting these inventorials each and every year. But it's very important, because I know you and I both, as taxpayers, want to have the assurance that the money, that the equipment that's spent with our tax money is accounted for.
Right.
And so that's very important that we're able to do that. And, of course, the other aspect that kind of just dwarfs it, especially after the 2020 elections and what went on in other states, is that the auditor, along with the agriculture and Industries Commissioner and the governor selects one of the three Board of Registrars in each county. And these are the individuals that are making sure our election laws are carried out. And we want to make sure we put people in there and appoint those people who are diligent and making sure that the laws are carried out. And I think I am convinced that the overwhelming majority of those people serving in those capacities in those counties are doing an excellent job right now. I mean, you see the fruits of our last election. Different national groups have said that Alabama ran the most effective, secure elections in the 2020 cycle. And we want to make sure that we at least continue to have that. You know, if you have people who are doing a lackadaisical job as a board of registrar and allow people to register multiple times, and so you have different individuals voting for that particular fake person, that's not good government. We're taking off of our work to go and vote, and for us to have the assurance that our vote's going to count. It's not going to be counted out or canceled out by somebody that was voting for someone or voting for a name who was someone who was incarcerated that wasn't supposed to vote, or someone who has been deceased. And that has happened in our state. And and we want to make sure that that's, I don't know if we could ever eradicate it, but the striving towards eradicating that is a huge objective, and at least keeping us at number one is for having the fairest elections. I think it's very serious. I think the people are very interested in that aspect of the office and making sure that we do get people who are qualified and working diligent enough to make sure the rolls are clean.
Yeah, you are probably the first candidate to really emphasize that part of the job. Mm-hmm. Stan Cook was talking about the ability for the state auditor under current law to examine discretionary funds. And I did not realize that was a part of the auditor. He specifically mentioned possibly auditing sheriff's offices for their concealed permit money, mm-hmm. or looking into other forms of discretionary budget stuff. Is that something you've considered?
No, I would think that would be a great idea, and I would be ready to take that on. I know with the budget cuts they've had in previous years, I would doubt that if they've been able to branch out and work on that aspect when they have to get those inventory.
That's a very important point. You can't mm-hmm. do these extra jobs when the legislature has cut the office to where it can barely do its.
And we're not really talking about expanding government. We're just talking about reinstituting the current the appropriations that we had just 4 or 5 years ago.
So that you can do the job correctly.
Sure. That's right. And we're not talking millions of dollars. We're talking about a few hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we're talking, right now they have two part-time auditors, as they call them, the inventory. But they need to be full-time. We need to be able to have enough money to pay them full-time so we can effectively run that office in the way the people expect and deserve.
Well, when we come back, I want to ask you a couple more questions, of course, about when we find things missing. There doesn't seem to be a lot of follow-up.
Yes, yes.
What way you will prioritize that.
Yes.
You are listening to Straight Talk with April Murray. Former State Senator Rusty Glover with me. Where were you a state senator from?
Mobile County.
Mobile County.
West Mobile County.
Joey Clark here keeping us out of trouble. More in just a few.